May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the bread of life. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today. We pray as we consider God's word. Let us pray. Lord, we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from your mouth. So give us your word. You have the words of eternal life. Help us to hear, listen, and believe. Grant us always the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all want an easy life, don't we? Anybody here really want a hard life? We want an easy life, especially here in America. We are often used to an easy life here in America. And so we buy, if we can, a nice big home with lots of rooms to have a nice, comfortable life at home. Easy. For us and the kids. And we buy 2, 3, 4, 5 cars, usually with all the bells and whistles, to have a nice, easy ride to work or wherever we're going. Got to have a nice car. And we have our smartphones and our computers and all the other smart equipment and gadgets that we have to make life easier, to communicate, find out information. It's easy now. And we all want an easy job. We look for an easy job, no stress, it's easy, make a lot of money and go home. We want an easy life, and we want an easy religion too. If we're honest, we all want an easy religion. Make it easy, Pastor. Make it easy, Jesus. We want forgiveness, but we're not so sure we want to forsake all and follow God. That's kind of hard. We want salvation, but please don't ask me to serve. Let somebody else serve. We want that peace that passes all understanding, but I didn't sign up for persecution and pain and suffering, did I? And so we come to church. We want an easy church service. I want nice, easy hymns we can sing, a nice, easy liturgy we can go through, a nice, easy, short sermon, Pastor, and let's have communion, and let's all be out of here within an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes if we have a larger crowd. Nice and easy, I can go back to my nice, easy life. And yet our gospel lesson would teach us that Christianity is not easy. It's hard. And in the end, it's impossible with us. We have this interesting text, John 6, we've been on here. This is the end of John 6, some 69 verses in John 6. And Jesus has been teaching. And the people find it quite hard what he's taught. We have this interesting verse. When many of his disciples heard what he was teaching, they said, "This is a hard saying. It's no longer easy. Make it easy, Jesus. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And then later, one of the most tragic, disappointing verses in all the Bible, John 6, 68. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Sad, tragic verse. It's too hard. It's no longer easy. And so many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. It's just too hard. We want an easy religion. I want to talk about the difficulty of Christianity today. We here in America, we especially want an easy Christianity. Often it's way too easy for us. What's hard about Christianity? Two things. First of all, Christianity is hard to believe. It's impossible for us to believe. That's why we have the Holy Spirit who gives us faith and keeps us in the faith, because we would never believe it ourselves. Our sinful minds and hearts would go everywhere but to God. But Jesus in John 6 and throughout the scriptures teaches us some very hard things that are very illogical, very unreasonable. They don't agree with our sense of the way things should be. Three things in particular that seem quite unreasonable, which is a hard saying for the people. Number one, Jesus is teaching that he is God. He's not just a good guy. He's not just a good prophet, a good teacher. But he is God in their midst. If you read John 6, at least 5 times, Jesus says he's from heaven. I am the living bread from heaven. I've come down from heaven. I'm from the Father in heaven. I'm from heaven. 5 times to say he is God. How many of you walk around and say you're from heaven? Jesus says he's from heaven because he is. He's God. But this is hard because he doesn't look like God. God wouldn't become a human being, would he? And God's this humble little man from Nazareth, a carpenter's son, the son of Joseph and Mary. He hangs around fishermen and tax collectors. This is God? Come on. Ha, ha, ha. It's too hard. It's not reasonable. And so today, 3 out of 4 people in our world would say that Jesus is not God. It's too hard. He can't be God. Come on. God doesn't come down on this earth and die on a cross. That's not God. If it is, maybe I don't want that kind of God. It's too hard. Secondly, Jesus has taught that he's the only way to heaven. We just prayed in the collect that God would give us faith to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way. Jesus in John 6 is quite pointed, simple, blunt. I am the bread of life. You eat of me and drink of me, you'll live. If you don't, you have no life. In other words, I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to glory. I'm the way to resurrection. There is no other way. He doesn't say, I am a bread of heaven and there's 9 other breads over here on the shelf. Pick one. I am the bread of life. You want to live, it's only through me. It all seems quite unreasonable to us. This seems too narrow-minded. It seems quite judgmental against all the other religions of the world that have their gods, and they seem like they're decent people. They're a nice neighbor to me. And yet Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, and you'll live. If not, you have no life. You're going to go to hell. You're going to die. Really, Jesus, this is too hard. I want something a little easier. Not so tough and judgmental on me or on my neighbor or on my kids. But the cross itself, dear friend, says there's no other way. Look at a cross and tell me there's another way. If there's another way, why wouldn't God just say, pick the other way, I'm not going to sacrifice my son. Pick one of the other 4 ways. I'm not going to give my son on a cross if there's another way. Why would I do that? God's not foolish. The cross says there's no other way than the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to heaven, the only way to forgiveness, the only way to life. There's none other, or God would have said, pick one of those ways, it's easier. But many reject that. And then thirdly, here in John 6, Jesus is teaching something quite odd and unreasonable, that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood to live. Now, this is really strange. And the Jewish people hearing it said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to this? We're supposed to be cannibals and eat this guy's flesh and blood. How can this man give us his flesh and blood to drink? It seems all too odd and gory to me. And so they leave. And there are many, many Christians, using the term loosely, that reject this teaching too, that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood to live. They reject flat out the words of Jesus here. For us Lutherans, this is easy. When you heard me read this, you should immediately think of what? Communion. This is communion language. Eat his flesh. I eat his body here, his flesh. Drink his blood. I drink his blood here. And I live. I'm forgiven and I live because I have Christ who died and rose again for me. It's quite simple. He's talking about communion. And we need to commune. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. But there are many, many that find it too hard. Christian churches right around us that say it's only bread and wine, a terrible heresy. Don't say, Pastor, it's no big deal. It's a big deal. You're contradicting the pure word of God, and that's a big deal. You're saying, Jesus, you're a liar. I'm going to make up new words you're saying, and that's a big deal. And don't you dare say it's not. To say this is only bread and wine, you mock Christ, and you're rejecting his pure word here. And there are many that have communion 4 times a year, 6 times a year, bread and wine, a symbol. It doesn't help anybody. And it's heresy. And it hurts and poisons. And God have mercy on those churches and pastors that teach it. If I was out landscaping, which I've been doing, and getting a big sweat going and thirsty, and I say to my beloved wife, Ann, please bring me a big sweet tea from McDonald's. I'm dying of thirst out here. How would I feel if my beloved wife brought out a picture of a sweet tea and said, "Here, honey, here's your sweet tea. Enjoy it." I might just throw the cold hose on her and say, "Ha, ha, ha, joke on you." But a picture of a sweet tea does not help me at all. I need the real thing. And so if communion, if this is only bread and wine and a picture of Jesus, it doesn't help you. Don't come. Have bread and wine at home. Pictures don't help people. Symbols don't help people. We got to have the real thing, and the real Jesus, the living crucified Jesus, the real Jesus is right here in the bread and wine. This is my body. This is my blood. It's a hard teaching. It goes against logic and senses, but it's the truth because God says it. And so I believe it. And I eat and drink as much as I can to live. Hard teachings. And many reject, and many leave. Some leave the Lutheran church for this. We're not going to take it back. We just lay it on your heart, brother or sister. This is the Word of God. This is so hard, it's impossible for us to believe. This is why God's given us the Holy Spirit, the season of the Spirit, Pentecost. We have the Holy Spirit to give us faith in these words and to keep us in the faith. Praise be to God, the Holy Spirit, who convinces us, sinful people, that this is the truth, giving us the faith and the belief, keeping us in it. And he does that by worship, by repeating these things over and over again. We repeat so that we get it. We believe it. We stay on the right track. We stay in Christ. Think of Tennessee football practice. They're in heavy practice for the first game. Do they repeat the same drill every day over and over? You better believe it. The same tackling drill over and over. The same blocking drill over and over. Get it down. Same thing. Same thing. Same drill. Over and over again. Running. Making the right route for a receiver. The right running play. Over and over. The same thing. Why? To get it down right. We don't get it right the first time. The only thing we get right the first time is sin. We know how to sin. We get that right the first time. But we don't do anything right. So we got to repeat. Drill. Get it in us that we do the right thing. That's a football team. It's the church too, loosely speaking. We come to church and repeat things. We have the invocation. We have the benedictions. We know who God is. We have confession of sins, so we know we're sinners because we often think we're not so sinful. We have absolution to remind us we're forgiven. We're forgiven by God in Christ. We have the Word of God to remind us. Give us the words of eternal life, Jesus. I got to have these words. Repeat it. Repeat it. We have communion. We repeat it. These are our drills, church. We go over them over and over again because without them we go astray into heresy and we go to hell. That's how sinful and weak our minds and hearts are. And the Holy Spirit works. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Believe. It's hard to believe this Christianity. The Spirit convinces us. But this is what's even harder. Christianity is hard to leave when you're a Christian. Oh, may we join Peter at the end of the text, this great dramatic text. Jesus has many people leave him. These are probably hundreds of people that leave. And Jesus doesn't negotiate. He doesn't apologize. "Oh, I'm so sorry you're leaving. Let me say it a different way. Let me make it weaker and more shallow for you so you understand it." He lets them leave. He's God. And oh, Peter, he says to the disciples, "Do you want to go too?" What a question. "Do you want to leave too? I am who I am. Take me or not." So he asked the 12, "Do you want to leave too?" And oh, Peter, led by the Spirit, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you're the Holy One of God." Now there's the church. There's the true disciple. Christianity is hard to believe, but it's harder to leave. We would never leave you, Jesus. You're our Savior, our Lord, the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection, the life, the good shepherd, the vine. You're our everything, the Alpha, the Omega. We would never leave you. And that's the church. Where are we going to go to have eternal life? Where are we going to go to live forever? Where are we going to go to have hope in our trials, peace in our sufferings? Where are we going to go to make any sense out of why we're here? You tell me, where are you going to go? You You can have a job and have another job open to you over here, and you want to leave this job to go to that new job because it's easier. Go ahead and leave. It's okay to leave that job and join another one. No big deal. You go to Dr. Smith, but you want to leave Dr. Smith and go to Dr. Taylor. Go ahead and leave that doctor and join another one. It's no big deal. You're at Kroger, and you want to leave Kroger and go to Food City. They have better deals at Food City. Go ahead and leave Kroger and go to Food City. No big deal. It's just groceries. You're at a UT football game this fall, and it's boring. And you want to leave and come to my house and watch Notre Dame? Go ahead and come over and watch Notre Dame. It's no big deal. I won't make fun of you the next day in church. Don't worry about it. You're a Republican. You like Donald Trump, but you want to leave Donald Trump's bandwagon now because he's Donald Trump, and you want to vote for Hillary? God forbid, but you want to vote for Hillary? Leave and become Democrat. It's really no big deal. No eternal consequences here. You leave Jesus. And you leave the Word of God. And you leave your baptism. And you leave the sacrament of communion. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. For you and your children. And your youth. And college students. It's a big, big deal. It is heaven or it's hell. It is life or it's death. It's salvation or condemnation. It's a big deal. Don't ever leave. We're a church that's sinful. Every church is sinful. The pastor's sinful. We offend each other, hurt each other, fight, argue, bicker. All that happens. But you're going to leave Jesus? Really? You're going to leave hearing the absolution? You're going to leave hearing the Word of God? You're going to leave the sacrament? You're going to leave Jesus? Really? How could you ever leave Jesus? You know, finish up. I saw on the front page of the paper yesterday a big black bear from the Smoky Mountains. And the black bears, of course, sometimes wander from the park. And I read where now they want to put a collar on these bears that wander, put some kind of collar on them so they can track them, make sure they stay in the park. Nice thing to do. You know what one of those collars cost? $500? $1,000? $3,600 for a bear collar to keep a bear in a park. Fine. $3,600 for a bear? I'm going to introduce sheep collars for the sheep in the church that can't find their way to church. Should we have sheep collars, William? Would you pay $3,600 for one? For Pat anyway, huh? But really, we're that interested in saving bears? I don't care. Save a bear. May we be interested in saving the lost sheep that stray, that don't know the bread of life, that don't come eat and drink, that don't hear. Get them a collar if we have to bring them back. And their children. Who can you bring back and invite this Sunday? I asked the question that Jesus asked the disciples. Do you want to go too? Do you want to leave too? If you don't want eternal life, you should go ahead and leave. That's what we offer here. You don't want forgiveness for your sins because you think you're so good you don't need it. You may as well go. That's what we offer here in the blood of Jesus. You don't want hope and peace that passes understanding, then you may as well leave if you think you're going to find that somewhere else apart from Jesus. Ushers are going to be leaving back there, Keith? I don't see anybody leaving. You want to stay like Peter, don't you? And may we join in the words of Peter. Repeat after me. The words of Peter, the words of the church. Let me make sure I get them right. Stand and let's repeat this to finish. Please stand. Repeat after me. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This Christianity, hard to believe, but much harder to leave. Amen. Let's join in the offertory, page 192. May the peace of God which transcends all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. 192 we sing.